or so ago, you may remember that in the days of praise, the Morris boys spoke about genetic coding. And they drew attention, of course, to the reference here in James chapter 3. So this afternoon I took a crash course on molecular biology to be able to understand what genetic coding is. Having taken that crash course, the only thing that crashed was me. So I'll give you what I have, and I'd like to share it with you, not because of the scientific marvel but in and of itself, but because of the fact that many references in the Scripture touch upon this very thing. And basically, the genetic coding is, and where we would differ from the secular humanist is we believe that genetic coding, individual by individual, is something that is hardwired in us by God the Creator. And it is a, if I can put it this way, a packet of information that's encoded with different materials where living cells and proteins come together and enhance a person's growth and development, their identity. And everybody in the world has a code, and it's all individual, it's all unique. And so if ever there was a scientific marvel that really enhanced what we have been given consideration of in Romans 8:28, it's that. When we say all things are working together for good to them that love God, you can start right there with the genetic coding. And understand this, there are deformities in the code in different individuals. And yet God does not make any mistakes. So from the very beginning, God is at work doing what he will do for the good of the individual and all for his glory. So with that said, we look at James chapter 3, verse 12, and we read this. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Well, according to genetic code, it's impossible. They're not hardwired. Can I just put it this way? There's no DNA that crosses over there. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? The answer is no. It's impossible. And then it goes on to say that so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So whenever we think about the figs and the fountains of trees and of vines, the Creator genetically coded each to reproduce after its own kind. When you look into Genesis chapter 1 and you see that phrase repeated over and over and over, this was after its kind, this after its kind, this after its kind, that was all God's work in the coding of the individual items, be it in the case of man or be it the case of the foliage or be it the case of the animals. Everything has a genetic code. And so whenever we think about in this fashion, there's another thought concerning spiritual genetics. And I would say, just from this particular point, you would like to see maybe this laid out in John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. John 3, verses 5 and 6. As one born from above, ought not that one bear the same fruit after his own kind? So look at John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered in response to the question of Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So on the one hand, from the human side, there is that genetic uniqueness. On the spiritual side, the same thing. And it was apparently, if we use Genesis 1 and the creation account as the driving force behind the point and purpose of genetic coding was to reproduce after its kind, we come to the spiritual side of that. And you and I who have been born from above, we were born first to our human parents, that which is flesh, and then we were born from above, that which is the Spirit. And so there is now a unique spiritual coding that is not unique so much to the individual as it is to the whole group of the redeemed, where we produce fruit or should produce fruit after our own kind. Now, while you're thinking about that just for a minute, the same thing is true about the mention in James chapter 3 there about the fountain. Whenever you think about the fountain of life is supposed to be fresh, ought not the water springing up from it be living water, whose source and support and end comes from the fountain of living waters? But I want you to, before we come back around to that, I'd like to have you look in Romans, a couple of these verses that pull this right out, I think, pretty clear. Romans 11:16, we read there. And again, just take the statement as it is, isolated in its context. It is not strange to the context. So we look at Romans 11:16. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches, because they are emanating from the one and the same source. Okay? Now go from there to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 22. And again, this is probably one of the most profound statements linked with Romans chapter 5 verses 12 to 14 of the genetic coding that was perverted with sin, for example. We see in verse 22, as in Adam, all die. As in Adam, all die. You and I are the offspring of Adam, many generations removed. And yet we have, as we've been born into this world, have been born with a genetic code that is deviated from God's original design because of sin. And that because of judgment. The God who wired us with Adam's original code, God also permitted to be tainted or tarnished by sin. So that we all alike bear that resemblance to Adam, in the sense of a deviated, genetic code. Look over in the same chapter, verse 39. This whole section here speaks to this in a little bit more detail. But in Acts, 1 Corinthians 15:39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men. And the men have their unique genetic code. Another flesh of beasts, they have theirs. Another of fish, they have theirs. Another of birds, and they have theirs. And he says, there are also celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. And so, whenever we look at these references, we link them all to John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and so that those who have been born from above bear a spiritual genetic. And the premise is, or the point that is made to me in my study of this is that inasmuch as God told Adam and Eve to go and go forth and multiply, replenish the earth, the same mandate is to the child of God, is to go and multiply and fill the earth. Spiritually speaking, it probably gives the underpinnings for all of the evangelistic missionary work that goes on. It just springs out of that premise. Now I want you to also go from the seed to the water for a moment. There is a statement that is made in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse number 38. On the notion that God is the fountain of living waters, Jeremiah speaks of him that way. He is the fountain of living waters. You have in John chapter 7 and verse 38 these words. And again, you link this to John chapter 4. But verse 38 says this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Why? Because when you've been born from above, that genetic code now has been born from above. It has been made new. And so out of your belly now flows living waters. Now remember what Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4 verses 10 and 11? You know, the whole issue was he's sitting at the well he asks for water, and they enter into a little bit of discussion. And in the course of that discussion, Jesus, our Lord and our God, the living water, he says this to the woman. He says, "Whoso drinketh of this water," referring to himself, "whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." There you go to John 7:38. "He that believeth, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, one final point of reference. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Matthew 7, again, in its overall context, its immediate and its expanded context, he's speaking about false prophets dressed up in sheep's clothing in verse 15. Their inward nature is predatory. Verse 16, "You shall know them by their fruits." Then the question is this: "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" Now, I don't know. I've never picked a fig. Never picked a fig. I've eaten them. They're okay. But grapes of thorns, I suppose there are some kind of thorns that are more connected to the olive than they are to the grape. And I know some would try to make or eliminate the distinction between the olive and the grape. And the reason I draw a point to the olive with the thorns is because of what they put on the head of the Lord. Okay, but here the question is asked, "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" And the answer comes back, no. It's not possible because they're not coded that way. One is foreign to the other. There's no mutual compatibility. Then he goes on to say, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit." Why? Because it's coded genetically to do that. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Evil fruit. That's the code. That speaks of the individual, like in the case of a false prophet, having never been born from above, is still bearing about the Adamic curse, in which the genetic code of the individual has been perverted. Okay? And then we have in verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." And so if we look at this as a whole, there is the marvel, the creative marvel of the human genetic code embedded in us by our great Creator. It is not what once was, but having been born again, it is not what it was in our Adamic condition. There is now a spiritual genetic that is factored into the whole process. And where the human was concerned, when the command was given to Adam and to Eve to go and be fruitful and multiply, that was for physical reproduction. And so whenever we think about the spiritual genetic, you and I who have been born from above have now been given a new mandate. We should likewise go forth and multiply after the same kind. And what kind? After the same kind of tree that we are. The false prophet, he will likewise put seed in, but the kind of tree that will come out of that is corrupt because it is unique to his own code. You who've been born from above, you sow a different kind of seed. And that which springs out of that root, is a good seed. And it is consistent with the person who put the seed there. Essentially, we understand that seed is, in the most simple ways to be understood, as what you have in your hand right now, the Word of God, planted by you. So I leave you to your thoughts on that. And again, I would not advise anybody to take up the study of the blending of molecules and proteins and living cells and stuff like that unless you your IQ peaks around 160 as a starter and go from there. Because it sure was Italian to me as I was trying to read it. Could not make heads or tails out of it.
Interesting piece on what you're saying there, that in response And in correlation with that video we watched there several weeks back about the little protein that holds that together.
Yeah.
And you're talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's what holds the genetic sequencing together.
That's great to have a fertile young mind, being able to recall stuff. I'd totally forgotten that.